2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 6 through 8. This has been a very emotional week for all of us. We knew that Brother Frank's homegoing was drawing near. And yet we're still just not ready for it sometimes, you know? And I kept thinking over the last few days and the last times and opportunities that I had to visit and speak with him and talk with him. He would only share a word or two in response. But there was no doubt in my mind, and I'm sure in many of your minds, that Brother Frank was ready to go. And so I want to share with you a message tonight entitled, When You're Ready to Go. The Apostle Paul said in verse 6, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. I want to try and share this message tonight in honor of Pastor Frank. When you're ready to go, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You again for the privilege that we have to gather here and to worship You. And we thank You for Your presence here in this place. Where two or three are gathered in Your name, You're there in our midst. Lord, when Your people worship You, You are the God who inhabits the praises of His people. And so, Father, we sense Your presence here tonight. And we're thankful for Your word, for the comfort, for the strength, for the encouragement that it brings to each and every one of us. And so, Father, we just ask You to speak afresh and anew to our hearts and lives tonight. Lord, to comfort us, but Lord, also to encourage us and strengthen us, Lord, as we seek to live our lives each day for Your glory, and we wait for and look for and long for Your return for us. And Father, we'll just be careful to give You the praise and the honor and glory for all that You accomplish and all that You do. But we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, 2 Timothy has always been recognized as the last words of the Apostle Paul. And when you get to the last chapter in chapter 4, you find here the last words which we have been given through the ministry of the Holy Spirit from the hand of Paul and his writings. You can sense the urgency of his words. He begins that chapter in those first five verses. He takes time to exhort his son in the ministry to preach the word. He reminds him of the responsibility that he has because of God's calling upon his life. He reminds him of the accountability that he has because of his relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is to preach the word. He calls attention to the reality of his calling and preaching the word of God, that it should never be a matter of convenience, whether in season or out of season. It's not about convenience. It's about conviction. It's about compassion. It's about sharing the uncompromising truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's pouring this into the life of his young son in the ministry. He reminds him of the reason for preaching. He reminds him that they're living in days, and we especially are living in the days and times in which people are more interested in having their ears tickled than having the Word of God proclaimed. He reminded him, you must preach the Word, because there are going to be people who want to hear what they want to hear, and they're deaf to the truth because they want someone to scratch their ears and tickle their ears. But Paul tells Timothy, you preach the Word. Give them an earful of the Word of God, because it doesn't matter whether they want to hear it or not. The truth is they need to hear it. And so we need today to hear the Word of God. It's not in season at all at this time in our culture, but we need men of God to preach the Word of God. Paul had been a man of God who preached the Word of God, and you sense the urgency. He's sharing these last words with his young son in the ministry, and he's telling him to preach the Word. And then in verses 6 through 8, you see, now we understand the reason for the urgency. Because Paul is now acknowledging that his time is drawing near. His ministry is coming to a conclusion. His life here on the earth is nearing its end. And he's faithfully served Jesus. And he's faithfully proclaimed the Word of God. And you know what? I believe he's wanting Timothy to know in his last words. He's simply saying, I want you to know I'm ready and I'm raring to go. Folks, I believe Brother Frank would want us to know he's been ready and raring to go for some time now. And I believe God has so much to speak to us about what it means to be ready to go and how you know when you're ready to go. Listen at the words that he used there in verse 6. He says, for I am now ready to be offered. That word offered, it's the word that is used of the drink offering. It's the same word he used in his letter to Philippians in chapter 2. It's a picture of the drink offering. It takes us back to the Old Testament sacrificial system. If we were to go to Numbers and we were to look there at the laws of God given and how they were to offer the sacrifices, the people of Israel and the Gentiles that lived among them and sought to worship God, they were to bring those sacrifices to be offered to God. And there was a process. There was a burnt offering that of the chosen animal that was to be offered there. Then there was a grain offering that was given. And then that was to be followed by the drink offering, in which the priest would pour out the drink offering on the altar. You see, as Paul is writing Timothy, he sees his life now as being poured out as a drink offering. See, he's been changed by the sacrifice of the Lamb of God on the cross of Calvary. He has experienced the gospel. He has witnessed the resurrected Savior. He has seen and come to know Jesus and that sacrifice that was made for him on the cross of Calvary. And ever since he had met Jesus, ever since he had fell down before him, you know the life of Paul, you know the testimony in Scripture. He did exactly what he exhorted us and beseeched us to do in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. And that was exactly the life in which the Apostle Paul had lived. Having come to know the sacrifice and the love of God for him in Christ Jesus, he immediately went to living a life for God as a living sacrifice for him. But there's one thing he acknowledges.
That offering is about to be finished. That offering is about to be completely poured out. He's in prison. He's awaiting the executioner's axe. He knows that death is near for him, but he is not afraid of Caesar. Caesar is not going to kill him or take his life. No, his life is being poured out and is ready to be poured out to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was ready to go. I am now ready to be offered. I keep being drawn to that text, and I think it's because of the life of Pastor Frank and the influence and the impact that he had, and how for all of his life in ministry, I've known him for 20 years. Many have known him for many, many more years than that. He pastored here for 12 years. And so many of you have known him far longer than I have. And you've always, I know, known him to be one who loved Jesus and sought to pour out his life as a sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ. And his life has now been completely offered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was ready to go. I don't know about you, but I know it was the Spirit of God that moved upon our hearts. I just know it was the Spirit of God that was speaking to us, knowing that those days were numbered, that time was near, that God would lay it upon our hearts to make a trip and to go worship Jesus with him in that victory house. There's no other explanation for that than the Lord Jesus knew he was getting ready to take his child home, and he gave us the opportunity to show that man our love and our appreciation and to tell him how much his life and his faith as men. See, a lot of times we try to do that at the funeral and they're already gone. It's far better when we have the opportunity to do that and we take that opportunity while they're with us. And so Paul was ready to be offered, and as we gathered with him, as he sat there in that wheelchair, as I visited him in the hospital, as I went to his home and his bedside, I know he was ready to be offered. He was ready to go. And I'm so thankful. I can't think of any greater blessing a man could have than to be granted the privilege of being in his home, surrounded by his family, when he goes home to be with Jesus. And so the point I want us to think about tonight is this. When it comes to being ready to go, and there's a lot of people that will tell you, I'm ready to go, but being ready to go has a lot to do with the life that you've lived and the life that you're living. In order to die well, it requires that you have lived well. And so we see that in Paul's words and in his testimony. In fact, as he's telling Timothy, I'm ready and I'm raring to go, you can tell there were three things on his mind. And I believe with all my heart, when you're ready to go, these three things will be on your mind. Now, first of all, I want you to notice this. The last journey was on his mind. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He's ready to be offered. He's ready to go. And he's facing this last journey from this life into eternity. And folks, apart from Jesus coming in rapture to take us up, you and I are all facing that last journey. We've got a journey from this life into eternity, and we have to walk through death's door to get there. But the wonderful thing about it is, notice here, there's no fear here. There's no anxiety here. I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. You know what that sounds like to me? Anticipation. Like, you know, when it gets time to go on vacation, I couldn't wait till September 1st, Saturday morning, got here. Man, my departure was at hand. I was headed to the beach. I love to go to the beach. If you're going on a cruise or whatever, there's that anticipation. That time's here. That's the same thing we see here in the Apostle Paul's life. That word departure is such a beautiful word. It has so many meanings. It's just filled with meaning. It carries the meaning of being let loose, of being set free. It carries the meaning of being able to set sail and to move forward or to enter into the journey. See, all of those things, that's what Paul had in mind. He was ready to go. And he was thinking about this last journey, and he was looking forward to being set free. The word departure, it means, it carries the meaning of an animal of burden being loosed from its burden, taking the yoke off the oxen or off the mule, and that animal being set free from its labors. Paul had labored long and hard in the gospel. He'd walked and traveled and gone wherever God would lead, and wherever God would open the door, he would go and preach the gospel. He longed to go to Rome, and he wanted to go there as a preacher, but he ended up going there as a prisoner. He'd been through many troubles and trials. He'd labored long and hard, but he's looking forward to being set free from that. It also carries the meaning of a prisoner being set free. And he's in a prison cell writing this. He spent a lot of time in prisons in the latter years of his ministry. And he was looking forward to that departure, which was like being set free from a prison. And a departure in which I believe he's talking about his soul being set free from the prison that he'd been confined to. That being set free, that's what death is. It's a separation of the soul from the body. And that's why he speaks of death not as an end or perishing. He speaks of it as a departure, as he's being set free from this prison into this life, this eternal life that we have awaiting us. It carries the meaning of loosening the ropes of a tent, of taking the tent down and moving. It's a beautiful picture of Paul, who had made tents and who had traveled and many times no doubt lived in tents. And yet now he's getting ready to go home to be with Jesus. He's getting ready to trade in the tent of his body and enter into a mansion in glory that's been prepared for him by Christ Jesus. Do you see that beautiful picture there? All of these things, I believe, are on the Apostle Paul's mind. He's thinking about being set free. I don't know about you, but I believe it, Brother Frank, in these last days and these last months and weeks of his life, I believe there was an anticipation of being set free from the labors that he'd been through so long and so hard, being set free from the prisons of nursing care houses and hospitals, being set free from diabetes and from all the diseases and sickness that he suffered. He was getting ready to be set free from all of that, to strike tent and to move from this life to heaven. He was getting ready to set sail. See, that's another thing that word departure is. It pictures a ship tied to the shore, but the anchor's taken up, the ropes are untied, and the ship sets sail for the horizon. The Apostle Paul, he sailed the Mediterranean. He knew what it was like to stand on that boat and to feel it launch from the shore and to move out into deep water. But you know what was on his mind and on his heart as he's writing this letter to his son in the ministry? His time, his departure is at hand. He was getting ready for a journey to that other shore. He was getting ready for that heavenly journey. And the thing about this journey, it was going to be a quick journey. Once the ropes was cut and the anchors were pulled up, absent from the flesh, present with the Lord, he was ready to go. And folks, I believe Pastor Frank on Friday night at 11:45 with his family all gathered around him, the ropes was cut, the anchor was pulled up, and he opened up his eyes in the presence of Jesus. The last journey was accomplished in that moment. He set sail. But notice something else these verses tell us in verse 7. He doesn't just have the last journey on his mind. Paul had the last judgment on his mind. And just as there was no fear in facing the last journey, notice here there's no regrets. There's no fear in facing the last judgment. Listen what he said in verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. There's no fear, there's no regret. Paul spoke of himself as a good soldier. I fought a good fight. See, we who are in Christ, we have three enemies. We have the devil, we have the world, and the flesh. We have an infernal enemy, the devil, who uses the external enemy, the world around us, to incite our internal enemy, our flesh, our selfish, sinful desires. And as those who are in Christ, you know, Paul himself shared with us in Romans chapter 7, there is always a continual battle in the life of every born-again child of God. But he had fought as a good soldier. He had trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had allowed God's Spirit and God's Word to bring victory in his heart and life. He had fought a good fight, and he was anticipating when he stood before the Lord Jesus Christ to hear the Lord say in the last judgment, to hear him say, "Well won, you fought a good fight." Look what else he said. I have finished my course. He referred to his life as that of a disciplined and diligent athlete, of a runner who's seeking to run a race and to win the race, of one who has stayed his course. In other words, when runners run in the race and those lanes they have, they have been given a lane, and they must run within that lane and seek to finish the race and seek to be victorious. All of that is conveyed in this word that Paul uses. I have finished my course. In other words, I was put in the race by the grace of God, and I was given a place in the race, and I have run that race. I have finished my course. I was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. I was called to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And I was placed in that race, and I have run that race. I have finished my course. He anticipated Jesus would be saying, "Well run, Paul." But then notice what else he said. I have kept the faith. Here he's referring to himself, alluding to himself as a faithful steward of the gospel. He had been given the gospel, and in through his letters and his writings, as we study them, we see how he faithfully proclaimed that gospel, how he wrote some of those letters to protect that gospel, to defend that gospel, to keep that gospel truth from being perverted and being distorted. He had kept the faith. He had been a good steward, but not just protecting the gospel is seen here. I believe also the fact that he had trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and through every situation and in every circumstance, whether he was in prison, whether he was in a shipwreck, whether he went through any kind of trouble or trial or turmoil, he kept the faith. He kept trusting in Jesus and believing in Jesus. He was anticipating the Lord Jesus saying, "Well done. Well won, well run, and well done." He had the last judgment on his mind. That's why I think about Pastor Frank. I think about Pastor Frank, and I believe he heard Jesus say, "Well won. You fought a good fight. Well run. You ran a good race." See, God saved him. God called him. God placed him in the ministry. Made him a husband. Made him a father. Made him a pastor. He served here as a staff member with me as a pastor. And I know from personal experience and testimony, whatever lane God placed him in, whatever place God gave him, that's where he ran. That's where he served. That's where he ministered. He finished the course. And I believe he heard Jesus say, "Well done," because he kept the faith. Oh, he preached it. He proclaimed it. He protected it. But folks, he showed us the power of it when he lost the ability physically. And we went through the sickness and the suffering and all that he faced. He was a modern day Job if I've ever met one. Not once did I ever hear him with his lips curse God. He loved Jesus in the midst of all that he suffered. Such a beautiful testimony of a person who's ready to go. No fear for the last journey they're facing. No regrets, no fear for the last judgment. No, just anticipation of knowing that when they stand before Jesus to hear him say, "Well won, well run, well done." And then in the last verse, folks, notice there was one other thing on his mind. I believe it's why there was no fear. I believe it's why there was no regrets. Because, see, it was the Lord Jesus on his mind. Look what he said in verse 8. "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing." You know why he was so ready to go? He was getting ready to see Jesus. He was getting ready to see Jesus face to face. He had his eyes on the prize all throughout his life in ministry. He'd sought Christ's likeness in his life. That's why he fought as a soldier. That's why he run as an athlete. That's why he was faithful and tried to be faithful as a steward and keep the faith and keep the gospel, because Christ's likeness was the goal of his life. It was the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And he understood and realized that one day that he was going to meet Jesus and he was going to be like Jesus. And so he's got his mind on Jesus. You know, I can't ever approach this text in these words of the Apostle Paul without trying to wrap my mind around the Apostle Paul, a man who had given his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, who had served the Lord faithfully, who has written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit a large majority of the New Testament scriptures, who traveled throughout the then known world, planting churches, winning people to Christ, doing all of these things for the glory of God and for the gospel, and to see him in the latter years of his life being in a prison, in a dark dungeon cell. This is not the house arrest he was in at the end of Acts the book of Acts in Acts 28. This is the maritime prison. He's down in a dungeon. He's down in a dark hole. He's got a cement slab for his bed with a little bit of straw to lay on. They're serving him molded bread and rancid water. It's cold. It's dark. He's lonely. And he's writing to his son in the ministry and telling him to come quickly and to bring the books and to bring the coat. I can't imagine what it was like to see a man who served the Lord so faithfully. You would expect him to be enjoying retirement. You would expect him to being asked to come over to Corinth and to travel over here to Ephesus and to come over here and to give a message and to bring a message. But what do you find? You find him in a prison. You find him lonely and cold. And yet, do you hear any whining? Do you hear any remorse in what he's writing here? Do you hear him saying, "Well, Timothy, if I'd have known this was where I was going to end up, I wouldn't have preached as long and hard as I did. I wouldn't have done as much as I've done if I knew this was what it got me." I don't see any of that here. But you know what I see? I see a man who's ready to go and with joy and rejoicing is looking forward to seeing Jesus. "Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me. And not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing." See, he's facing execution, but the executioner's axe is overshadowed by the cross of Calvary. He's thinking about the Lord, the righteous judge. See, he's getting ready to be executed by an unrighteous judge. But you know what's on his mind and heart? The cross of Calvary and the Lord Jesus Christ, who became sin and died on the cross of Calvary for his sin, so that we might be made righteous in Christ Jesus. He satisfied the demands of a holy God by taking the wrath of God and penalty for our sins. And now as Jesus, he is the righteous judge who declares us right with God when we by grace through faith put our trust in him and repentance of our sin. He's got the cross on his mind and the righteous judge, and he's got the coming of Christ. He's been living for the day and longing for the day that Jesus would come for him, and he knows that when he comes, there's a crown of righteousness that's been laid up for him. That word crown, it's Stephanos, it's a victor's crown. He knows that while Jesus tells us we're to lay up treasures in heaven, he also knows that there's crowns in heaven that's laid up by the Lord Jesus Christ for those who've loved him and faithfully served him. No matter what persecution, no matter what sickness, no matter what suffering they faced or endured in life, Paul was ready to go because he was looking forward to seeing the Lord Jesus and receiving that reward and that crown. Folks, when I read this text and I think about Apostle Paul and all that he was suffering, enduring, and I think about Pastor Frank and the latter years of his life, he couldn't go preach, he couldn't go visit, he couldn't go do the things that he loved to do for Jesus. My flesh cries within me, "Is that what you get when you give your life to serve Jesus?" But I'm here to tell you, the Spirit of God cries within me through the testimony of the Word of God, "No, that's not what you get. What you get is a crown of glory. You get the victor's crown. You get to go home to be with Jesus." Paul was ready to go, and Frank was ready to go. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go. The only question tonight is, are you for sure you're ready to go? There's a last journey awaiting each and every one of us. And there's a last judgment we'll stand before. Are you ready to see and meet Jesus. Because you can be if you give your heart and life to Him. And it's in living your life for Him and pleasing to Him. When it comes your time to go, no fear, no regret, no remorse. Just closing your eyes in this life to open them to seeing Jesus. We wonder what it was like. We'll know soon enough. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for, again, the gospel. We thank You for the testimony of the Scriptures. We're thankful for the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. And Lord, we want to thank You for the life and ministry of Pastor Frank. What a beautiful picture of the gospel and of the love of Christ. And thank You for the comfort that we find in our hearts of knowing that He was ready to go. And God, that He's entered into His reward and into the presence of Jesus. Lord, help us who are ready to go to live our lives as He lived, as the Apostle Paul lived. Lives lived in service and submission and love of the Lord Jesus. Lord, so that we might face that last journey and last judgment and see You, Father, with no fears, no regrets, but only joy and rejoicing. If there's anyone here tonight that doesn't know You, Lord, may tonight be the night that they come to know You. We'll be careful to give You the praise and honor and glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing a hymn of invitation. Won't you come if God's speaking to your heart? Maybe you just need to pray in the altar. You have someone to pray with you. Whatever that need is, you come tonight. God's speaking.